This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abam, welcome everyone to tonight's Daf Hashavua. We're learning Masechta Yevamos. We're up to Daf Tezvav, and we're going to start five lines from the bottom on Yedalet Amud Beis. The sugi over here is, did Beis Shammai continue to follow their own ruling, or did they defer and ultimately paskin like Beis Hillel? Now, why would they have paskin like Beis Hillel? There are a number of potential factors. One factor, the Gemara on Yedalet Amud Aleph told us that a baskal, a heavenly baskal, what's amazing actually is, I was in Baltimore for Shabbos and I was learning with someone who was learning Daf Yoimi. So I was telling him I'm learning in Daf HaShavua, you know, about the baskal. So he said, guess what? The Gemara in Erevin that we just learned on Shabbos talks about the baskal. So that's pretty amazing. So the Daf HaShavua and the Daf Yoimi people, we could actually get along. And we see that it complements each other. But it's quite amazing. Actually, you know, last week's blot on Daf Yud Gimel was Loistis Goydudu, which is Parshas Re'eh. And Daf Yud Dalet was the Daf Yoimi of the week. So, you know, every blot has its Hashgacha Pratis. But an interesting point that we're about to say is, why would Beis Shammai have deferred to Beis Hillel? Well, the Gemara tells us that a heavenly voice cried out that Halacha is like Beis Hillel. Now, the Gemara says that if Beis Shammai deferred after the Baskal, the reason why they deferred is because of the Baskal. If they deferred before the Baskal, then they could have deferred because Beis Hillel was the Roiv. And the Holchin Achar HaRoiv. But there's another possibility that the reason Beis Shammai deferred to Beis Hillel is because of Lo Yisiskoi Dudu. So there are actually three possible reasons why Beis Shammai, and we never really got into this before, there are actually three possible reasons why Beis Shammai could have deferred to Beis Hillel. Either because of the Baskal, or because Beis Hillel is a Roiv, or so as not to violate Lo Yisiskoi Dudu. Now, it's not clear, it's not for sure that Beis Shammai deferred to Beis Hillel. It's Machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says Beis Shammai stayed strong and they did follow their opinion. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, holds they did not. Right? In other words, when Reish Lakish asked, what about Loisus Goydudu? And Rabbi Yochanan said, what do you mean Loisus Goydudu? What about Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? So Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion Beis Shammai followed their opinion. Reish Lakish was of the opinion that they deferred, and therefore they didn't violate Lo Yisiskoi Dedu. And that's the Machloikes, Rav and Shmuel. If you remember, Tosfos on Daf Yudalit brought that there are many rayas in Shas that Beis Shammai followed their opinion, most notably in the beginning of Brachos that Rav Tarfain leaned when he said Shema. This is the second Tosfos on Daf Yudalit, that Rav Tarfain leaned when he said Shema, in accordance with Beis Shammai, clearly Beis Shammai did maintain his opinion. But Tosfos says, ultimately, the conclusion of the Gemara will be Beis Shammai did follow their own opinion, but the Gemara is sort of going through it. Okay, let us now begin. We're on Yudad Amad Beis, five lines from the bottom. Tashma, Dom Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, Heich halacha zu ravachas bi Yisrael. How is this halacha? How should this halacha be disseminated in Klal Yisrael? In other words, we know that Beis Hillel says Tzaras Erva is Asur. Not only is it Asur, it's an Isur Doiraisa, it's an Isur Kares, the children will be Mamzeirin. On the other hand, Beis Shammai says Tzaras Erva is Mutter to do Yibum to. So what should we do? Nasik Debei Beis Shammai, if we're going to follow Beis Shammai, have Lad Mamzo de Beis Hillel, according to Beis Hillel, that marriage will produce an illegitimate child. Nasa k'divrei Beis Hillel, if you're going to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, havlad pogum l'divrei Beis Shammai. The child will be improper. Pogum means deficient. The child will be have a pigam. Why is that? Because according to Beis Hillel, this woman is muteres l'shuk. On the other hand, according to Beis Shammai, she is according to Beis Shammai, she's zakuk liyibum. Now, if she doesn't do yibum and she marries Lashuk, what's going to happen is she's violating a lav. What's the lav? That was the discussion on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Loisia Eishas Hames Hachutza Leishzar. She can't go marry Lashuk according to Beis Shammai. She's Zakuk Leibum. Now, so whoever she marries is a union of Chayvei Lavin. So Chayvei Lavin will not produce Mamzerim, but the child will be a Chalal. They are Chalalim Leinyan Kahuna, the product of a Yevama who's Zakuk Leibum, and a guy who's not supposed to marry her, is that the child is a Chalal. Now, so according to Beis Shammai, the children are Pagum. So Kedivrei Beis Hillel, in other words, Nasa Kedivrei Beis Hillel, Avlad Pagum, the Beis Shammai, to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, the Vlad is going to be deficient according to Beis Shammai. So either way you slice it, it's not going to be good. To do Yibam, it's going to produce Mamzerim. To marry Lashuk, it's going to produce Chalalim. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had an einfal. Bayu unasakin lohen litzarois. Let us enact for the tzarois shiuchotzes lemesyamos. Do chalitza to her. Don't do Yibam. So according to Beis Shammai, she's not marrying Lashuk when she's Zakuk. According to Beis Hillel, you're not marrying Chayvei Lavin. And as I had a Rebbe who came from Scranton would say, everything is hunky-dory, everything is great, because it solves all the problems. And now,
I'm sorry, but it doesn't solve all the problems, because you go back, what happened to when they, 5-6 generations before, and they allowed it, and they were mandarin, they continue, keep coming along. So how do we stop that? Because you go back in time, there are going to be mandarin that were there. So how do we address that issue?
Okay, very good question. In other words, you're only addressing the issue right now. What about if in the past somebody followed the opinion of Beis Hillel and the woman, or Beis Shammai, and somebody married the Tzaras Erva, what are you going to do with them? I don't know if we're going to solve that. You know, you can't solve all the world's problems. However, this was a potential takana, at least mikan olahaba, from here and on. This would take care of any issues from here and on. Maybe in the past, maybe we'll have to rely on the fact that Moidiyim, like the Gemara said on the top of the page, the Moidiluhu, maybe they made it known. But at least, what do you want to say, Philip? You want to say something?
Who said they even had a Machlokes in the past? Meaning that Beisham Beis Hillel came along, clarify.
Right, so what was going...
It wasn't clear 100 years before them.
Okay, the question is, but who was it clear like? And if it was clear like one of them, then who changed, right? I guess that's always a question.
But it was accepted. But whatever it was accepted, so it's not a problem.
But they were intermarried? Mm-hmm. And also they were intermarried?
I don't know, I'm not sure. But at least Mikana Haba, we're going to take care of the issue. And the Gemara says, "Lo yispiku l'gemaras hadavar." They were not successful in bringing the matter to completion. In other words, into allowing this takana to go into place. Ad shenitrafasha, until the hour was too late. In other words, it was too late. Now, what was too late? What does it mean it was too late? L'chayra, the pshat is, by the time they got around to it, the baskol cried out. The halacha is like Beis Hillel. And, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's suggestion was to sort of take into account both opinions, but all of a sudden they heard a voice crying out from heaven, wait a second, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Now, Amar le Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, Ma nasa lohem letzaras harishonus meyata. Ah, what are you going to do to the original tzarais? This is what Michael was saying. Manasa tzaras rishonis shenis yabmu. What about the original tzaras who did yibum? Uvneyem mamzerim, and their children are mamzerim. Im nigmar halacha, if you're going to establish the halacha, shelo yisyabmu, that you're not allowed to do yibum. I believe it's slightly different than what you're asking, Michael. And that is, Beis Shammai at one point in time said the halacha that you do yibum. According to the opinion that they deferred, then what are you going to do with in the interim between the time they gave the shear and they deferred? Iyamrit Bishlama Asu. If Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, Hainu de Kamar Manasa. So now we understand what Rav Shem Gamliel meant. What are we going to do in the interim between the time Beis Shammai issued their ruling and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would make a takana? In other words, this takana is not going to take care of all the instances where Beis Shammai's ruling was followed. But that's the concern. In other words, if Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, the concern would be, what is going to be with all the women who, all the tsaras ervas, that married before Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri issued his takana that you do chalitza to them? But if Beis Shammai never followed their own opinion, then what exactly is Rav Shem Gamliel all worked up about? Oh, what are you going to do with all those women? What women? Beis Shammai never said such a ruling. He never followed this psak. If you're going to say they didn't follow their opinion, my manasa, what does it mean? What are we going to do? In other words, Rav Shem Gamliel said, Houston, we got a problem. The problem is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri wants to solve every situation by instituting chalitza to take care of everybody. But how is that going to help? But by the time that takana is made, you're going to have all kinds of tsaras erva who ended up getting married. Now, that only is a problem. The fact that we have a concern means that, in fact, Beis Shammai followed their opinion, because Beis Shammai never followed their opinion. What are you getting worked up about? Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Nachman bar Yitzchak said, Lo nitzricha, this was not needed. Meaning, Rav Shem Gamliel's concern was really like this. Really, I'll tell you, Beis Shammai never followed their opinion. And Beis Shammai said that Tsaras Erva cannot get married. But what are we worried about? We're worried about the Tsara herself. Now, the Tsara herself, according to Beis Hillel, what is, goes to the Shuk. Now, what would Beis Shammai have said? Beis Shammai deferred, and he deferred to Beis Hillel that she goes l'shuk. But once Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri came in and said, no, let's just do chalitza, so then, listen to this, Ela l'tzara atzma, Uma nasa, what did Rav Shem Gamliel mean, and what are we going to do? Hachi kamar, Hanach tzara is to Beis Hillel, these tzara is to Beis Hillel, l'Beis Shammai hechi navir. What are we going to do according to Beis Shammai? Again, Beis Shammai originally retracted. And Beis Shammai said that the Tzara could marry Lashuk. But once Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was Masakin Chalitza, that means Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is, so to speak, preserving what Beis Shammai would have said, which is that Be'etzim Shizakuk Li'ibim, and this is a valid Chalitza. So now, according to Beis Shammai, the woman's chalitza is a valid chalitza. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is saying that let's be misakin chalitza for this woman. But wait a second. Yesterday she already married Lashuk, right? Think about it. Beis Hillel said she's mutter Lashuk. Beis Shammai says, look, I would have said she's zakuk li'ibum, but I'm going to defer to Beis Hillel that she's mutter Lashuk. And they gave her a heter to marry Yankel. And then Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri comes in and says, well, wait a second, we're making a universal takana that Tzaras Erva needs chalitza. So she's going to have to go to her husband and say, listen, husband, we could stay married, but according to Beis Shammai, I have to go get chalitza from the brother of my deceased husband. So what are you going to do? L'Beis Shammai hechi navid lehu. If we're going to tell the women, oh, why doesn't the husband say, oh, gesunte heit, go get chalitza, you know? Do me. So she's in the middle of cooking him cholent, and she says, wait a second, before I put in the kishka, I just have to go get a chalitza. So what do you think he's going to say? We would have said, gesunte heit, just make sure, you know, the kishka is well done by the time Shabbos comes. Elamai, says the Gemara, L'chaltzu, if you're going to do chalitza, mimasiya gavrayu, she will become disgusting to her husband. How will she become disgusting to her husband? Why will she become disgusting to her husband? Because her husband is going to feel that, in a way, she is zakuk to somebody else, and she needs to be released from that. So it's going to affect the relationship. V'chitema lemasan, and if you're going to say, okay, let her become disgusting, let Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri make a takana that you need chalitza, elamai she'll become disgusting, so she'll become disgusting. Says Gemara, no, that is not okay. Teracheha darche noyam, the Torah's ways are pleasantness, v'chol nisivoseha shalom, and all of her pathways are peaceful. In other words, the Torah would not require something to disturb the marriage of a couple. So since the couple got married, now why did the couple get married? Because Beis Shammai deferred to Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai says, I agree to you, Beis Hillel, that she is Mutaras Lashuk. And now Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is going to come in and make his takana about Chalitza, so it's going to disrupt marriages that already took place. So really it could be Beis Shammai deferred to Beis Hillel. What are we worried about? We are worried that it's going to disrupt marriages that already took place. Okay, next proof, we're going to try to prove regarding, did Beis Shammai follow their opinion or did they defer? Tashma, Damar of Tarfoin, Tiviani, I desire, I want, I look forward to. Masai Tavoy Tzara Sabasayadi, when will the Tzara of my daughter fall to me ve'esa'ena, and I will marry her? Rav Tarfon says, I have a taiva, I desire to marry the tzara of my daughter. I can't wait until, Pashup Shad, I can't wait until my brother dies. And the Rishonim have a different approach here, but let's learn Pashup Shad. I can't wait until my brother dies, and I can marry Tzaras Habas. So what does that show? Obviously that shows Beis Shammai, Rav Tarfon must be following the opinion of Beis Shammai, who says that Saras Habas Mutaras. So if Rav Tarfon is following Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai must have said and maintained that Saras Arvas Mutar. Says Gemara, Ema ve'esa'ena. He meant not that I can't wait to marry her, but I can't wait to marry her off to somebody else in accordance with the opinion of Beis Hillel, because Beis Shammai would say she's Zakuk Leibum, and what Rav Tarfon is saying is, I can't wait, since Tzaras Erva, or Tzaras Bitoy is Osir, I can't wait to marry her off to someone else. So the Gemara asks, what? The fact that he said, I can't wait to, means he's awaiting something which is unusual. Why is this unusual? That's the opinion of Beis Hillel, that Tzaras Erva is not Zakuk Liyibum, and therefore if a brother dies, she would automatically go Lashuk. What's he anticipating, this like unique opportunity or moment? This is the standard halacha. Says the Gemara, Tavani Ka'amar, didn't he say, I can't wait, I desire? And if it's like Beis Hillel, what's the chiddush? Everybody is noig this way. Says the Gemara, Lafuke mit Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. No, not everyone, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would say she needs to get chalitza, and Rav Tarfon was saying, I can't wait to demonstrate that she would not need chalitza. Okay, Toshma. Masa bebito shel Rabban Gamliel. There's a story with the daughter of Rabban Gamliel. Shehoisa nesua le'aba achiv. Rabban Gamliel's daughter was married to his brother Abba. Umeis bloy banim, Abba died without kids. V'yibin Ram Gamliel Saras, Ram Gamliel did yibim to the Tzara. So now obviously he must be following Beis Shammai, and clearly Beis Shammai must have followed his own opinion if Ram Gamliel is according himself that way. Says Gemara, what? Do you think Ram Gamliel was a follower of Beis Shammai? Right, we know Ram Gamliel was actually a descendant of Hillel. V'tiz Ram Gamliel mitamide Beis Shammai hu? He was a student of Beis Shammai? Rashi says, "V'haloi mibnei banim shel Hillelu." Says the Gemara, "Elashani bito shom Gamliel, the islandess Havoi, the daughter of Ram Gamliel was an islandess, and therefore she was never married to his brother because it was a mekach tos. So that's how Ram Gamliel was able to do yibum to the tsaras bitai." Says the Gemara, "Wait a second, but in the seifa hamid igtani seifa." From the fact that it says in the Sefer, Achirim oimrim, others say, Bitoi Sharam Gamliel Islandis, how you saw that the daughter of Gamliel is an Islandis, that implies that the Reisha has an approach to understand why Ram Gamliel was able to marry Tsaras Erva, even though the Bitoi was not an Islandis. That has to be according to Beis Shammai. Meklal de Tanakama Savar, Lav Islandis, how you saw. That means the Tanakama said, well, she's not an Islandis. And if she's not an Islandis, how in the world would Ram Gamliel have married Tsaras Bitoi? If not for the fact that Ram Gamliel held like Beis Shammai, and clearly then Beis Shammai held like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai followed their opinion. Says the Gemara, three answers. Hikar Bavla, Hikar Ba'ikar Be'nayu. You know what? Everybody agrees that she was an islandess. But the Tanakama holds that the situation was she was found to be an islandess, and it's a Mekach Tos, and that's why he married Saras Bitai. And Achirim say, no, Shahoyu islandess. Islandess Hoysa, she was. We knew she was an islandess. But even though we knew she was an islandess, she still patters, she still does not pater the tzara, like we had a tzara earlier, that even by hikarba, an islandess would, an erva that's an islandess would not pater a tzara, because Asher Teled says an islandess does not even fall to Yibam. Meaning, both the Tanakama and the Achirim say we're dealing with an islandess. The only difference is, according to the Tanakama, only if an islandess that we didn't know about and is a Mekach Tos would not exempt her tzara. And the Achirim say, no, even an islandess that you recognized was an islandess would not exempt the tzara. The Baisema, another pshat, both opinions learn. Let's see the Rashi. Oh, one second, I'm sorry. The Baisema, Kanas ulevasov gireish ikabeinayo. The difference between them is if first you married the tzara, and then you divorced the erva. That's the difference. The Tanakama says that by divorcing, the fact that your brother divorced your daughter before he died, even though at the time that he was married to your daughter, he was also married to someone else, and they were tzaras, your daughter, the tzara's mutter, because he divorced the erva in the end. And that's why the Tanakama holds that the tzara is pater. And the Achirim say, no, that type of situation, the tzara would be aser, because they were co-wives for a certain amount of time, and the only reason that they're not, the tzara is mutter, is because she was an islandess. Again, both opinions, Ram Gamliel definitely was miyabim the tzara. Achirim say it's because she was an islandess. So the question is, why? What is Pshat and Ram Gamliel if she wasn't an islandess? So the isn't it because he holds like Beis Shammai that Tsaras Erva is mutter? So the first answer is no. First answer is he was miyabim the tzara because the Bitoi was found to be an islandess and a mekachtos. The second pshat is no. Really, we're not dealing with a Bitoi islandess. We're dealing with Bitoi that was divorced before the Yavam died. And the Achirim say divorce is not going to solve the problem, because if they were ever together in the married to the same person, even before he died, even if he later divorced her, that would be a Tsaras Arva. And the reason why it's not is because she's an islandess. And the third answer is, you know what the difference between the two Perushim and why Ram Gamliel married Tsaras Erva? Here's the following situation. If somebody marries a woman on condition that she doesn't have two noses or three ears, and it turns out he marries her and she has two noses or three ears, so the Kedushin is batal. However, what if he has Bia? What if he lives with her? Then there's a svara to say, Ein Adam Bayel Bi'ilasai or Oisa Bi'ilasai Bi'ilas Nus. Even though the guy made a Tanai and the Tanai was unfulfilled, but if he lived with her, then we apply the rule Savar Vakibel. He knows about the fact that the stipulation was unfulfilled, and he accepts her as she is, because otherwise, what will be with the Bia? So the Tanakama says, Yesh Tnai Bibia, that if you marry a woman out Tnai, that she doesn't have a mum, or she doesn't have Nadarim, and if she does have, the Tnai is effective, and it's a Mekach Tais. And Reb Gamliel's brother had a Tnai with Reb Gamliel's daughter, and it was not fulfilled, and therefore the daughter was never the wife, and therefore the Tzara is Mutter. And Achirim say, no, the Tnai is not going to help the Bia, because if he did Bia, it's the Kedushin is Chal, because they know the Mois will be lost Nus. And the only reason why Reb Gamliel's Miyabim the Tzara is because the Erva was really an islandess. Meaning, we have three ways to skin the cat over here. Number one, even the Tana Kama holds that she was an islandess, but the difference is the brother didn't know about it, and the Acherim say even Hikarba, islandess, would not Aser Tzara. Or the Tana Kama holds the reason Reb Gamliel is Miyabim the Tzara is because the brother divorced the Erva before she fell to Yibum, before the Tzara fell to. Or the reason why Reb Gamliel is Miyabim the Tzara is because retroactively, the daughter was never married to his brother because there was a Tanai that was unfulfilled. Next, Masiv Rav Misharshia. Rav Misharshia asked a question. Maisa Rabbi Akiva. There's a story about Rabbi Akiva. By the way, for you Daf Yomi people out there, this is Erev and Daf Zayin. Maisa Rabbi Akiva. Zachariah, we have a new plug for Daf HaShavua that you could learn. You're learning Daf Yomi anyway while you're doing Daf Shavua. They didn't think of that one. Anyway, Masiv Rav Misharshia. Ma'isav Rabbi Kiva Shalikeid Esrog Be'echad B'Shvat. Rabbi Kiva was gathering a Esrog on the first day of Shvat. Year one, we know you give Ma'isav Rishon, Ma'isav Sheni. Year two, Ma'isav Rishon, Ma'isav Sheni. Year three, Ma'isav Rishon, Ma'isav Ani. And the cycle repeats. This was year two going into year three. And it was Be'echad B'Shvat. V'no'ag boy, Be'ez Yisurin. And Rabbi Kiva was giving two Ma'isers. Echad k'divrei Beis Shammai. One, he was giving Ma'aser Ani, because according to Beis Shammai, it's already year three. Because according to Beis Shammai, Echad b'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanois. The Echad k'divrei Beis Hillel, and he was giving Ma'aser Sheni, in accordance with Beis Hillel, that it's still year two until Tu b'Shvat. Now, if Rabbi Akiva was taking off Ma'aser to fulfill Beis Shammai, and Beis Hillel, clearly Beis Shammai followed his own opinion. Otherwise, why would Rabbi Akiva follow opinion that the person themselves didn't follow? Says the Gemara, no. Really, Beis Shammai deferred to Beis Hillel. The question Rabbi Akiva had is, what does Beis Shammai hold and what does Beis Hillel hold? We don't know who holds what. Is Beis Shammai the one who says Echad B'Shvat? Or is Beis Hillel the one who says Echad B'Shvat? Says Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Gamrei Yestapika. Rabbi Kiva was masupik about the halacha. V'loyada, he didn't know. He Beis Hillel be'echad b'shvat amur. Is Beis Hillel the one who said be'echad b'shvat? And in that case, it's already a meiser on year. The third year began. Tu b'shvat amur, or maybe Beis Hillel said tu b'shvat, and therefore it's still year two. A little further. Masiv Mar Zutra. Marzutra asked the following question. Maisa, this is Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chavchas. The Yolda Kalasa Shal Shammai Zaken. The daughter-in-law of Shammai the elder gave birth. So now, she has a little baby. But it's Sukkis. Now, Altzer, a woman's not Chayiv in Sukkah. But what about the baby? Are babies Chayiv in Sukkah? Now, adults are Chayiv in Sukkah. What about children? If they're over the age of chinuch, they're also chayiv in sukkah. What about less than the age of chinuch? It's machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says, as long as he could be mekayim the mitzvah, a child needs to sin a sukkah. And Beis Hillel says, no, so long as a kid needs his mother, he's not chayiv in sukkah. Now, even Beishami would agree a baby is not chayiv in sukkah. You have to be able to mekayim the mitzvah. But the pshat over here is, the mother, since she was with the baby, she had another kid clinging onto her, who was not of the age of chinuch, but according to Beishami would be chayiv in the sukkah. So what did Shammai Hazakin do? He diminished the roof, the ma'aziva, the gutter. In other words, he diminished the roof. And he covered the bed. He puts chacha, bishvil katan, for the katan. Now wait a second. But I thought Beishamai deferred to Beis Hillel. So why would Shammai Hazaken insist that a child sit under the schach, but even I thought Shammai deferred to Hillel. Shmami no asu. Says the Gemara, no. Hasam. Haroya oimer. There, the onlooker would say, La'afushe avir ka'avid. That he's not doing it. That Beis Shammai is not doing it because they follow their opinion. Beis Shammai is doing it to get more ear for the mother or the child. But wait a second. What does this got to do with the price of tea in China? I thought the Gemara said on Daf Yodalid that the reason why Beis Shammai deferred to Beis Hillel is because of the Bas Koil. So if Beis Shammai deferred to Beis Hillel because of a Bas Koil, or because they were a Roiv, then what in the world does it have to do with the fact? Why we're saying really Beis Shammai deferred? Why? Because Beis Hillel was right. Why were they right? Either they were the Roiv or a Bas Koil. But in this case, they follow their opinion because the onlookers won't see anything suspicious. That's how. This Gemara is clearly mashma that the reason why Beis Shammai deferred is because of what he's going to do. And in a case where people are not going to realize why Beis Shammai is being makbid on the kids sitting in the sukkah, there's no license going to do because people are going to think he's doing it for air. In other words, the Gemara before said Beis Shammai deferred because of a bas kol, because of a roif. And this Gemara seems to be saying that the reason Beis Shammai deferred is because of license going to do. I'll let you think about that question and we're going to pick it up here tomorrow, okay? Rabbi Yisai. Any questions? Chidushim, Ha'aras, Pulpulim?
What about the six times that we follow Beis Shammai? Was there a bas kol that said, hey, let's go after him now?
For the exceptions to the rule?
And also, like, did Hillel, was he not nice during those times, or?
I don't know. I don't know.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.